You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
I got a text for you tonight. Matthew 6:9. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, so then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The title of this message tonight is The Place Called Done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your presence is in this place tonight. Jesus, make no mistake, you're the cure. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We declare that every man's a liar, but your word is true. So we align our lives with your truth. Father, we thank you that you are grace and you are truth. You are a merciful God. We declare, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Lord, nobody came here to hear me tonight, but we all came to hear you. So speak, Father. Have your way in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. I want to talk about spiritual frustration for a moment. Before we close the message tonight, I'm going to give you practical ways on how to break through spiritual frustration. And this is something that I've personally been through. And part of me being raised in church and being in conferences and more church services than I could ever remember or tally over the course of my 35 years. But there's so much excitement in church. Sometimes I just need some practical what to do's. Here's what I mean. Okay, I got the app and I'm getting motivated to lose weight, but now I need to know what can I eat and what can I not eat? What exercises do I need to do? And spiritually, it's the same way. Okay, I know we need to read our Bible. I know we need to pray, but someone needs to teach me how. Someone needs to show me how do I respond when I'm at home on Friday night, I pick up my phone, and all of a sudden I got lust all over me because I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. Then what do I do then? What do I do when I'm driving in my car and I get hit with the rush of anxiety and I can't think straight? What do I do when I'm bound in fear and I'm confused about a situation and I don't know how to make a decision, I don't know what to do? It's amazing how it's so easy to get a word for somebody else, but how challenging it can be to get a word for yourself. How do I respond? Tonight I want to talk about spiritual frustration. If you're taking notes, write it down. Spiritual frustration. What does spiritual frustration look like? I've been dealing with this too long. Spiritual frustration looks, I've been stuck here too long. I should have been there by now. Has anyone ever thought that? Any pastors ever thought that? We should have been here by now. There should have been this many people by now. We should have been in that building by now. We should have been here by now. We should have been doing that by now. I thought we would be at this location by this time. And it's been this long and I'm frustrated with where I'm at. Ah. Nothing is more frustrating than just being frustrated. And then everybody's got 2 cents opinions and everybody's got an answer. And then everybody on Facebook has a 2 cents on top of someone else's 2 cents. So if you got about 4 cents, you can go buy yourself a McNothing because people giving you all this advice there is to give. Is it me or is everyone a spiritual guru on Facebook now? Everybody. I'm frustrated. Because I shouldn't be here anymore. Ain't nothing more frustrating than having a word, but the word hasn't happened yet.
when God spoke to you, and you know he spoke to you, and then you wonder, well, did God really speak to me? And well, yeah, I know he spoke, and this person said it, and that person said it, and this confirmed it, and that confirmed it, or I had a dream, or I had this, or some of you are seasoned, and you know how to hear the voice of God, and so you know that you know that you know that you heard the voice of God, but it hasn't happened yet. And that's a frustrated place to be. And if you stay in that place, you don't spiritually grow. And if you don't spiritually grow, you don't get healthier. You ever see that commercial, Bodies in Motion, Stay in Motion, you know, those things? Listen, if you're not using your body, if you're not using your muscles, they die. And if you're not activating your faith, it dies. And there's nothing the enemy wants more than to frustrate your faith. How, it blows my mind, how does Elijah confront 850 prophets that every pastor who's a coward is scared to death to? And he calls them out. Fire falls. And then he runs from a woman, scared of his life, depressed out of his mind, asking God to take his life. Sounds like a pastor on Monday. Stirring yourself up, and when you look out and you see in the natural what you didn't see in the spirit, it could be frustrating. And then the enemy's lies come in, just give up. The enemy's lies come in, see, you've held yourself for marriage, and what good has it got you? And then they lied to you, and that last church hurts you, and this person did that to you. The enemy, man, the enemy's voice is so clear, isn't it? People tell me all the time, I can't hear from God. I'm like, it's easy. You just do the opposite of what devils tell you to do. Now it gets you going in the right direction. You only hear three voices. You hear your voice, you hear the devil's voice, and you hear God's voice. And you don't have to be a spiritual guru to know the difference. You know what you sound like. You're selfish, you're insecure, you're prideful. You know what you would want, what you sound like, you mean. The real you is ugly. It's like when you go into church and you're going on dates. That's not the real you. That's your representative. When Heather and I got married, we didn't meet each other. We met each other's representatives. She met the perfect gentleman. We went on a date. We're out on Alki Beach in Seattle where we grew up. And she's like, what do you want to order? I'm like, what do you want to order? She's like, you want to share a pizza? I'm like, let's share a pizza. She's like, do you like veggies? I'm like, mm-hmm. Bro, I am a man. It is meat lover. Can we put a sirloin? Can we put a filet on that steak? She's like, do you like tomatoes? I'm like, uh-huh. We'll get extra tomatoes, sir. And I ate those stupid tomatoes. That it was like the only sunny day in the history of Seattle. And so it was hot, and I drank my water real fast. And I reached over the table. I said, can I have a drink of your water? She's like, sure. I drank her water. They were like, what do you want to do? You want to go to a movie? What do you do? What do you do? You want to go to a movie? What movie do you want to watch? What movie do you want to watch? Let me tell you what it looks like now. 13 years of marriage. Like, we're getting a meat lover. She's like, I want a veggie. I want this. I want a pesto. I'm like, I don't want a pesto. That's going to give me gas for the next week. No one wants pesto. Come on, any married folk in here? I don't want that. Going to kill me. I got to get on a plane tomorrow. No pesto. Get your tomatoes out of here. If I ever tried to touch her water, I would come back like the man with the withered head. He would not return home. We just celebrated 13 years of marriage on Monday. We're madly in love. Don't get it twisted. But watch, we got to know each other. I haven't ate a tomato since that date. We go to a restaurant now, I'm like throwing my tomatoes at her. You have this one. You have this one. I don't like tomatoes. Watch, We do the same thing when we come into church. Where people get to meet your representative. Praise the Lord. Where else do you say praise the Lord like that? Kids come home from school, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know you don't talk that way on your way to church. Tell the truth and shame the devil. We pretend like we have it all together. We pretend like we have the answers. We pretend like we're healthy when we're frustrated. When if we could get honest and real with ourselves, it's the first place to start getting healthy. As soon as you can say, I don't know if I'm healthy, that is the most wonderful place you can be. Listen, I was exposed to the revelation of Jezebel by asking one question, is how can our ministry be right every time? If you are right every time, you are not healthy, friend. I want to get your spirit healthy. I want to get your soul healthy. We need to get your mind healthy. Listen, we need you to make room for what God is about to do in this place. Let me take you to our text tonight. I'm not going to preach long. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a story of David and Goliath, but I'm not preaching about David and Goliath. It says this, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled in Succoth in Judah. They pitched their camp in Ephes-Damim between Succoth and Azekah. Verse 2, it says, so Saul and the Israelite assembled the camp in the valley of Elah and drew their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another hill in the valley between them. Now watch this. This is the story of David and Goliath. And I found we do this funny thing in Christianity. How many have been saved longer than 10 years? Let me see your hands. Anyone saved longer than 10 years? Okay, half. Any 15, 20 years saved people? Okay, awesome. And I found this, and I know if I do this and I'm a pastor, then you do this too, is when you start reading something that you're familiar with, you begin to skim. I wrote in my gay awareness book, do not skim the scriptures, because you'll be familiar with all of them. But you could be familiar with something and not have the revelation of something. So when you get to 1 Samuel 17, you know, because you've heard 350 million sermons on David and Goliath, you know it's about David and Goliath, and so you just start skipping down to the parts you like. Some of you pastors start thinking about your glory sermon that you preached a few years ago at conference. We start thinking about our view on it. And it's amazing because I've read the Bible more times than I can remember, and I read the Bible every day, but for some reason I have no recollection of ever reading 1 Samuel 17 verse 1 through 3. Now I know that I've read it because I've read the Bible, but I don't ever remember reading the Bible. You could be familiar with something but not have a revelation of that thing. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath, but it's more than just the story of David and Goliath. It's the story of Israel. It's the story of God's people. Remember, David was one character in the genealogy of David that was about a people that was the apple of God's heart. It wasn't about David. It was about God and his love for his people. And God had his hand on David because David was a man after God's own heart. But it wasn't even about David and Goliath. It was about God. Now watch this. There's nothing in the Bible that's there on accident. The Bible says all scripture is inspired by the breath of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 through 3 tells us a lot about this text. Children of Israel are fighting a battle against their nemesis, the Philistines. And the lack of obedience of their leadership allowed giants in the land. I'm gonna say that again. Your disobedience is what allows giants in your home. Your disobedience allows demonic forces in your home. It's just a little cig of weed, Pastor.
No, you're allowing spirits in your home.
It's just Netflix. We just fast forward.
You're allowing foul spirits in your home.
You can't read one chapter of Proverbs a day, but you can watch a Netflix series in 2 days. And it's amazing because it just plays the next episode for you. Isn't it interesting how that is so easy to do, but it is so hard to read the word? Why do you think there's so much physical resistance for you opening that book? I'm telling you, it is physically, emotionally, mentally, and most of the time spiritually hard to read it. You think that's coincidental? Why is it so easy to turn on it and play? Why is it so easy to check it again and check it again? And you just check your Facebook 5 seconds ago, but you're checking it again just in case. Check it again. Here's another video, and I'm checking it again. I'm checking it again because you're spiritually distracted because you're unhealthy. You are spiritually distracted. Watch this. Disobedience lets giants in. Let me talk to you single people. If you let it in, you're going to let a giant into your marriage. Let me help you out. The lust doesn't go away when you get married. Doesn't go away when you get married. When you got the green light of physical interaction, it's not going to appease sin. Why? Because sin can't be quenched. It can only be starved or cut out. Sin is cancer to the body. You got to cut it out. You have to flee from it. Hear me, young people. You have to guard your eyes. So it'd be better to lose your iPhone than let something foul on Instagram cause you to remain unhealthy. I'm trying to get you healthy tonight. If you listen, living in disobedience is going to let giants in. Hear it all the time from people. I can't afford to tithe. I don't understand. How could you not afford to obey God? Tithing's Old Testament. That's the stupidest thing you ever read on Facebook. By being Old Testament, you mean it's under the law. How could it be under the law if Abraham started tithing to Melchizedek 200 years before the law was written? If it's under the law, then how come in the New Testament, Jesus said to the Pharisees, do what they tell you to do, tithe. Just don't forget the greater things, because tithing doesn't make you holy. It makes you obedient. And listen, I'm not arguing with one Facebook theologian about giving to God. That church just wants my money. You don't give nothing. How can they get your money? You don't give anything. The only thing that you give is messages anonymously in the complaint box. But you don't build this house. You don't pray into this house. You don't dedicate anything to this house. You don't contribute anything. You are a taker and you're unhealthy. Now, there's a lot of people that are new in their faith and they don't know what I'm talking about. Tithing is a request by God to honor him, to bring a first fruit. It's a first fruit principle. I had a guy tell me, he's like, well, we just, you know, hold our tithe, and when we feel the Lord leading to give it, we give it. Well, that's great, but it's not God. It's not biblical. I'm just kidding. It's not great. It's not good at all. Because Cain and Abel did the same thing. And the Bible says that Abel brought his first fruits and Cain in the course of time. In the course of time, he felt like it. So what you mean is you can't afford to tithe because Verizon is first. What you mean is you can't afford to tithe because the NFL Network Sunday ticket is first. What you mean is you can't afford to tithe because you bought a new dumb car. What you mean is you can't afford to tithe because you took the family to Disney and did 7 days instead of five. That the reason why is you can't afford because you didn't put God first. I had a young man I mentored, and he was in ministry, and he said, I'm just having financial troubles. And I said, well, are you tithing? First question. He said, well, I can't afford it. I said, I'm just going to give it plain to you. You're asking me to pray and ask God to bless you when you steal from him. I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying it what I said to him. I said, repent, obey God, and start giving obediently. He called me back 6 months later. Got a promotion, tripled his salary, bought a new house. Listen. Did you prophesy there's perks? There's perks to obeying God. There is perks for being in the perfect will of God. There is perks. Watch. You know what the perk of obedience is? Health. Pastor Esther was prophesying. She said, they don't even know they're sick. They don't even know they're unhealthy. Listen, you're living in sexual sin, you're not healthy. If you're living in financial sin, you're not healthy. If you're living in pride, you're not healthy. Come on, somebody. If you're living in what I call spiritual superiority, what is that like? That means that my sin is more professional. It's more poetic. My sin is more acceptable to God than your sin is. You're an ugly sinner. I'm a pretty sinner. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. The greatest sin is not homosexual practice. What's an abomination? Yeah, there's many abominations. So are gossips. Read Proverbs 6. You're abominating on Facebook. Hear this word today. We're going to have to be healthy, not spiritually superior. You know what the greatest sin is? The greatest sin is pride. So where's the scripture that says the greatest sin is pride? It's easy. Pride is the sin that keeps you from repenting of any sin. The Bible says God opposes the proud. Do you know what that oppose means in the Hebrew? It means the point of the spear. You're an enemy of God. When Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? He was talking about those that were on the side of the Lord, and the prideful, the unrepented were on the other side. Hear this, disobedience creates unhealth. Saul was disobedient. You know what causes you to be disobedient? When you care more about what other people think than you do what God thinks. Pastors, the moment you start preaching a sermon to please people, you stop pleasing the Lord. The moment you start leading to get followers, I've heard everybody talk about building an attractional church, and you gotta have a church to draw people. I said, man, if I just attract the Holy Spirit, I'm pretty sure that Jesus draws all men unto himself. Listen, if we could just be about pleasing the Father, pleasing the Holy Spirit, watch, that starts not with our church services, it starts with our hearts. Met with a young man this week. He's a pastor. I get to mentor all these awesome young men, and he's talking to me how much he hears God, and God said this, and God said this, and God said this, and God said that, and God said this, and God said this, and God said that. And we got to the end of the conversation. He said, what do you think? I said, I think you hear the Lord, but you don't obey. Man, I'm so glad that so many of you hear God. But you're not going to be healthy if you don't obey. Reach out your hand, obedience. Pick up your mat, obedience. Go dip in the Jordan, obedience. Go wash in the pool near the gate, a beautiful obedience. There's always an obedience that is attached to health. We're not out of 1 Samuel yet, 1 Samuel 1 through 3. So this is a story about God and his people. David happens to be in the story. A Philistine happens to be in the story. A giant happens to be in the story. That Saul let in this giant because he feared the people. So of course Saul can't take on a giant. He couldn't take on a crowd. How are you going to take on giants in your city when you can't even stand up to your family? How are you going to take on giants when you can't take on Facebook? When you care more about the opinions of man than you do God. Saul said this, I tried to win the approval of man. I tried to please man. And the kingdom of God or the anointing was stripped from Saul. Of course, Saul couldn't take on a giant. He stopped worshiping. He was tormented by spirits, so he brought in little boys who had a heart of worship, that they would worship. He brought David to worship, and they would worship for him. Reminds me of what we do in church when we allow people to pray for us. You know what I'm talking about? I need prayer. You need so much prayer because you haven't prayed. Hear this. I'm trying to get you healthy. I'm trying to get you to a place where you're not here being served, but you're here serving. I'm trying to get you to a place, come on, hear me, the Cure Church, where you are healthy because you've encountered the Holy One who has set you free, who's pulled you out of miry clay, put your foot on a rock, and now you're helping pull people out. This is a story about God and his people. There happened to be a disobedient king. There happened to be a giant. There happened to be a boy named David who loved God. Now watch this. It happened to be in a city called Succoth. I'm going to be real, Pastor Jonathan. I didn't even know how to pronounce Succoth until I looked it up. I've never heard Succoth. If I was on a Bible trivia game, I might have got the answer wrong. Because I skim past it so many times. And some people might be just skimming past their health. If you are frustrated, God might be trying to tell you something that you're skimming past. If you are irritated, where are you at? If there's this holy discontentment inside you, maybe you just need to stop and say, speak, Lord. What are you telling me I'm not hearing? They're in a city called Succoth. Now, that doesn't mean much to me. It doesn't mean much to you, except it happened to be in the Valley of Elah. Now, that doesn't mean much to me. That might not mean much to you, but it was in the region of Judah. That might not mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to God. Because God promised Moses. You got to watch this. We can't just read this Bible. We have to read this Bible. Look at this. God promised Moses. I got to find it. In Deuteronomy 11:24, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be your territory. Shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon and the river Euphrates to the western sea. That might not be much to you, but in Joshua chapter 15, verse 35, or God spoke to Joshua and said, I'm going to give you everywhere that you put your foot, as I promised Moses. And part in Joshua 15, 35, part of where he put his foot, watch, was Succoth. That might not mean much to you, but now they're fighting over a piece of property that God promised Moses that Joshua put his foot. Hear this. So then you have David, who comes on the scene. Hold on. The Valley of Elah was located in Judah. That might not mean much to you, but Judah was the tribe of praise. See, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that the land that they were fighting over
was already promised to Moses. It was already put on by Joshua. And it was always already praised over by Judah.
It was already won. But it takes a worshiper to know a worshiper. So you have David who's worshiping out in the field. You have David who's a praise warrior. You have David who slays lions and bears in praise because he believes God. You have David who understands what prayer is and worship is. He casts devils off kings. You have David who walks up to a battle place and says, wait. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Watch, who is coming into my place of praise? See, the problem with your frustration is you've let things come into your place of praise. The reason why you're so irritated is because the enemy has entered your praise place. The enemy has located and come into your territory of prayer, and he's caused you to step back. David came on the scene, watch, and it wasn't because David was a warrior. It was because David was a worshiper and his spirit bore witness to the place of praise. And he said, who is this? I came to prophetically ask you, who is this? What is this thing that has invaded your peace? What is this thing that has invaded your praise? What is this thing that has kept you unhealthy? Who is this uncircumcised, unclean, foul spirit that you've allowed to live in your place of praise? See, watch. David spiritually discerned the battle. The battle wasn't against David and Goliath. That's the heading on the chapter head. The battle was between Goliath and David's God. Oh, I feel a holy rebuke on me. Why are you fighting the Lord's battle? It's not your job to fight the Lord's battle. It's your job to stand in praise. It's your job to stand in the place of prayer and intercede. It's your job, watch, to understand it's already won. The battle's already over. God promised it to Moses. Joshua walked on it. Judah's already praised for it. It is already done. Worship team, just join me. Not the singers, just the musicians. Listen. I came to talk to you tonight about a place called done. You're so frustrated that what's been spoken, what's been prophesied, what's been in your heart isn't done yet. So I came to tell you tonight to begin to worship like it's already done. Watch. Matthew 6:33. I love this. Let's get practical. Jesus said, this is how you pray. I came to get you healthy tonight. I came to get you on the right track. Get every lying spirit. Just Jeremiah playing. Play that, fill me up. That lying spirit kept you in that place of frustration, keeping you in that place of bondage. How long am I going to struggle with this addiction? How long am I going to have this habit? How long am I going to be held here? I thought God spoke to me. I thought God called me. I thought I had more than this. When is our marriage going to break through? When is my husband going to get delivered? When is it going to happen? I came to tell you that you need to go to the place called done. I want to get real tonight. I went through a season. I was so frustrated because I knew God spoke to me. I knew God called to me. I was in obedience and it wasn't happening. And I was in Israel. And this woman of God started talking about a place called Dun. And when she started praying, all of a sudden my spirit leapt. I was so frustrated. I said, Lord, I've given up everything. I've done everything. I've sold everything. I've obeyed almost everything that I could possibly do. I think I've done everything you told me. Why haven't I broken through? And I was frustrated. Lord, I've done my part. Why hasn't it happened yet? The Lord said, go to the place called Dun. I called this woman of God. I said, would you teach me how to get to the place called Dun? She said, I don't know if I can teach you, but can I show you? We spent the next 35 minutes on the phone together. And she just prayed for 35 minutes. And she just began to thank God it was done. Lord, I thank you that my children had a dream from you. I thank you they're putting drugs down. It's already done. I thank you they're leaving that relationship. It's already done. I thank you my phone is ringing and their name's on the caller ID and it's already done. I thank you, Father, that I hear their voice on the phone, but I can have a hard time understanding them because they're weeping so uncontrollably because, God, you have spoken to their heart. I thank you that they've entertained angels unawarely. It's already done. I thank you that there's healing in my marriage. It's already done. I thank you my husband's knees are on the floor and they're bowed to you. I thank you tears have stained his shirt in the floor because it's already done. I thank you that the check is in the mail. I thank you that it's already been signed. It's already done. I thank you that it's in my account. It's already done. I thank you, Father, that what you said over me is already done. I thank you. The place called Done is the place that you go in faith before it even happens. It's funny, I haven't even told you to get out of your seat and find a place, but that was the next thing in my spirit, is to find a place and go declare it's already done. Come on right now, grab your wife's hand, grab your spouse's hand, grab your child's hand, begin to petition heaven right now. Father, we thank you it's already done. Use these words. Begin to go through the process that it's done. I thank you right now that I went to the doctor and the doctor's face is surprised. It's already done. I thank you we took the x-ray and there's no report back. It's already done. I thank you I'm holding the x-ray and waving it in the air. It's already done. I thank you, Father, that it's already done. It's done. It's done. It's done in Jesus' name. Saints, begin to pray. Get healthy right now. Begin to get healthy right now. Come on, begin to petition heaven right now. Go to the place where it's done right now. Go to the place where it's already done. Don't let the enemy intrude on your worship one more moment. Don't let the enemy push back the battle lines one more moment. David said the battle's already done. I don't gotta be a warrior, it's already done. I don't gotta be a fighter, it's already done. Because if the Lord said it, it's already done. Moses walked here, it's already done. Joshua walked here, it's already done. It's done in Jesus' name. All over this place, begin to pray out loud. Pray in English. Pray in English. Pray in Spanish. It's done. Come on, say it right now. It's done. My son came home. It's done. My daughter is healed. It's done. I thank you. It's done in Jesus' name. I'm worshiping you from a place called Done. The church is full. It's done. Miracles have happened. It's already done. Revival's broken out. It's already done. Young people are set free. It's already done. I thank you from a place called Done. Come on, begin to worship the King right now. Begin to praise the King right now. Begin to go after this presence right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.